You know, when I hear these guys up here singing and praising and worshiping God, it's something that probably on the intake day, if I would have ever asked those guys in the first hour of arriving at the center, as you see those pictures of those guys, that all those pictures up there were taken in my office within the first hour of arriving at the center. And if I would have asked any one of those guys in a few months, you would be on a stage singing songs, praising, worshiping God, and sharing your testimony, most of them would have said that you're on drugs, you need rehab, because it's not something normally what they would have done. Actually, we've got a graduate in the program, Terrence. You want to stand up, just. I remember Terrence's first hour in my office. And I have a picture of a choir that we went on in 2012 on a road with about 20 guys. And I remember Tarrant was looking, I think, at the picture, and he wasn't still settled in on everything of Teen Challenge. And he says, "You're not going to say I'm going to have to go on a choir, are you?" And I think my comment was, "No, but you get to. You'll get to. Someday. Maybe not the first month or the first couple months, but you'll get to." And that's about the heart change. And that's what we see in the men that walk into Teen Challenge. We're a 12-month residential Christian faith-based program, and it's there, like Ken says, for 12 months. Me and Ken did the program together. And, you know, it's not something normally what people would sign up for a year. Often people want to have in their drugs and their alcohol addiction is everything is about a quick fix. They just want to get sober. They just want to stay off the drugs and the alcohol. And you know what? For the most part, a lot of people can do 5-7-day detox center or 21-day or 28-day program. But when it comes to doing a long-term program, often what it is, it's life or death. There is no other out of this addiction other than probably death. And by the time we get those phone calls, I talked to a lady just prior to the service here that has a son that needs the program desperately. And, you know, it's a situation where they have to come to the end of themselves. And often it would be a loved one, a mother or a spouse or a brother or sister or a pastor in a church or just a support person saying, "You know what, you need to get your life on track." Because what we're seeing here is evidence of a life that's not worthy of living. And, you know what, and then we go through a process. It's about doing the interview over the phone that takes about an hour. They do a criminal record check, get some blood work done, and then they enter the doors of Teen Challenge. So usually by the time they get there, they're desperate for change. And whatever it is that's going to help them change their life to turn around, then they're open. And all we do is open up the gospel to them. We introduce them to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one that changes and transforms their hearts. It's about a heart change. Man can't change the heart. Teen Challenge can't change the heart. Only God can. And that's why this ministry works. One of the guys that's going to come share is one of those guys who was desperate a few short months ago. So, Brandon, would you come and share, please?
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Nervous. Something like that. Yeah, my name is Brandon. I'm 26. I've been at Teen Challenge for 7 months. It's truly been a blessing. If I wasn't here right now, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know if I'd be alive right now, but that's my past, so I'm thankful to be where I am. I grew up in a Christian home. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was about 5 years old, but I was more or less just accepting my parents' faith. I wasn't really accepting my own, so I knew what it meant to be a Christian from a very young age, but I didn't really take it seriously, I guess you could say. But growing up, I had a pretty normal childhood. I lived with my dad and my stepmom. I played sports all the time. I went to church every Sunday. I went to youth every week. I read my Bible quite often. I prayed every night. You know, I was living a pretty normal childhood. And as I got older, I started to not really like the structure and the discipline that came with living in a Christian home. I felt that things were too harsh. You know, I felt I wasn't able to do as I pleased, which is good for kids, but as a kid, I didn't really like that. Something about it, the rebellion was really strong at a young age. So as a result, I made up a bunch of lies about my stepmom, saying how she was being verbally abusive and unfair with me whenever my dad wasn't around. So obviously this caused a lot of conflict. I ended up moving out of my dad's into my mom's place at the time. And it basically pushed my dad and my stepmom and my siblings out of my life. They ended up moving to Alberta because they were just getting a bunch of hate and condemnation from myself and the whole family. So yeah, at 14 years old, I basically eliminated the hero in my life out of any contact that I had with him. Like, I always looked up to my dad so much, and the lies that I told just drove him away faster than I even knew what happened. So yeah, that was definitely tough. Instantly, I knew the magnitude of what I did, so I carried a lot of shame and guilt right away for that. And I held it all inside, you know, like I was really good at pretending that I was okay. I was really good at putting on fake smiles and putting on a hat of happiness when I was really just killing myself inside. So that was tough. Growing up with my mom, I started to rebel when I was like 15. I smoked weed for the first time. Right away, I liked what it did for me. It gave me a release. I didn't have to be myself for that little bit when I was high. So I felt that it was a good temporary fix for sure. I didn't get too addicted to it throughout high school, but I definitely did it probably a handful of times a month. And I started to be super disrespectful towards my mom and my stepdad. I started stealing from family in like large amounts, and I was lying all the time. I wasn't doing it for no rhyme or reason. I just inside I felt like a crappy person, so I was trying to find my identity. And whenever I would act out, it would just be in negativity and in sin, because like that's who I thought I was as a person. I thought I was a total piece of garbage, so I just acted like it. And when I was 18 years old, I got kicked out of my mom's house for the lying and the stealing. It just increased as I got older. So yeah, I had nowhere to go. I ended up getting taken in by some family. I ended up getting my own place, getting a job, and kind of living somewhat of a normal life. I thought I was an adult, but I was still a lost child at that time. I smoked weed every day. I drank quite often with my friends, and I was basically just working to be able to provide for myself whatever it was, just to go party all the time. And that lifestyle went on for probably 2 years. I somewhat held it together, and I didn't really think I had a problem. I started experimenting with other drugs to see what else was out there. The more I would party, the more people I would get to know, and the more drugs I'd be introduced to. And when you're around people that are doing something to you, it seems acceptable. You just think there's not really a problem with it. So yeah, I tried various different drugs. It doesn't even matter really. I tried almost everything there is out there. But when I was 22 years old, I tried cocaine for the first time. And that's really when addiction took a hold on me and I lost myself as a person. The first time I did it, one of my buddies said to me, he's like, man, I just want to let you know before you do this, your life is going to change drastically. And I kind of just thought, oh, that's valid, but that's not me, man. I'm not a drug addict. I'm just kind of doing it for fun, you know? So, from that time out, I did it every weekend for 4 years, and it increased lots of times. Obviously, the more money I had or the harder I would work, the more I would be able to buy. So over a four-year span, I was working as hard as I could to supply for my drug addiction. It felt like, in my mind, I was a superhero because I would never sleep. I would stay up using all night, and then I would go to work, and then I would get mad at my boss because I'd be like, how are you only paying me this amount of money? Because I'm working 20 times harder than everybody else. That's what I thought in my mind, like just complete garbage. And my respect for authority, for everybody around me, just deteriorated because I had no respect for myself. Addiction consumed me and swallowed me up whole. I had no confidence. All the lies of scheming, of trying to get money to try to get high, I was lying so much that I would be lying to myself. Be like, I would think to myself, like, I'm only going to do this one more time, or I'm only going to do this for this week, and then I'm going to quit. And it came to a point where I was so consumed by the lies and the addiction, I didn't even know what was true within myself anymore. So I can't even describe what that feels like. But I just want to share a scripture. It's from 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. This is about self-discipline here. And Paul's saying, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it all to get the crown that will not last, but we do it to get the crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified of this prize. So when he speaks about running aimlessly, that was me and my addiction. I had no direction. I had no purpose. I had no idea where I was going with my life. But Teen Challenge really brought direction and it brought purpose. As soon as I came to Teen Challenge, I accepted the fact that I needed help and I just submitted my life to Jesus Christ. And the enlightenment and the relief that I received was almost instant. Trying to be in control of our lives, trying to figure things out on ourselves, trying to rely on our own strength is all... it's all a waste of time. There's only one way to find happiness or pure joy, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for Teen Challenge, I wouldn't know that today. I always knew what it meant to be a Christian, but now I'm learning to see what it is to actually live like a Christian. Yeah, I'm truly thankful to be here. While being at Teen Challenge, I've had lots of restoration. I've only seen my dad once in the last 10 years. He came out to a visit day a couple months ago, and there was no resentments or hate from everything that went on. God kind of just took the whole situation and restored it, and now my dad's like this super cool spiritual mentor in my life, and more than a dad, he's like this spiritual gift from God, and that's super cool, and that just shows how God works. Like, I struggled for a long time, but that's because I wasn't even giving him a chance. And as soon as I let him in, as soon as I knocked and asked for help, boom, everything was just turned around. So I'm thankful for that. Another passage it hits home for me is Romans 5, 1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. To be thankful for our sufferings, to be thankful for our times of struggle and trials and failure didn't make sense to me before. I didn't really know what that meant. But then it goes on to say, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. With Jesus Christ in my life, I'm truly thankful for all the bad times. I'm thankful for my addiction. I'm thankful for almost being homeless, for not having money, because through all that, I really understand that I don't need anything outside of Jesus Christ to be happy, to find joy. I don't need a good job. I don't need a bunch of money. I don't need a ton of friends. I don't need a nice car. All I need is the truth, and the truth is right here. So Teen Challenge really opened my eyes to just seeing life in the only way to see it. I have new perspective, and I have so many hopes for my future because I'm 26 years old. I think I'm old, but I'm over halfway to 50, but I still got lots of years left, and in every day I'm thankful. Every day I try to be better than the day I was before. And every day I give it to God. And Teen Challenge isn't a magical building in any way or any sense, but they really help us get on solid ground with God. So that's super cool. Just want to thank you guys for letting me share and for having us in your church. We're all super blessed to be here. So thank you and God bless you all.
Thank you, Brandon. Brandon is one of those guys that's available to be sponsored today. I'll talk a little bit more as we go through the program here. When these guys come into Teen Challenge, these guys really come from a very unstructured life because of their addictions. They can't even function to even get to work at times. Some of them would go, like Brandon says, they go all night and then go to work. And, you know, some guys are productive. A lot of guys aren't. And they just shut down. And they end up losing their jobs, their families and everything because of their addictions and an unstructured lifestyle. And then they come to Teen Challenge, and these guys literally, Monday to Friday, they're up every day at 6:30. By 7 a.m., they're up, showered, shaved, dressed, beds made, half an hour devotions at 7, 7:30 is breakfast, 8 o'clock, they do small chores around the center. 9 a.m., we do a chapel service every day. Basically, do some praise and worship. Somebody will share a message. From 10 a.m. to noon is their biblical education. Right after lunch, they do work details around the center, or it could be communities surrounding Allen. Could even be coming to Saskatoon and helping people. 5 o'clock is supper. 5:30 to 7 is what we call their time management, where they can make some of their phone calls. They only get 20-minute calls a week, and if they have children, they get an extra third call. 7 p.m. It could be more of a scheduled event, something going on at the center. They might be playing a baseball game. They've actually joined a league this year that was very successful for the TC guys. There's been some years where I don't know if Ken or Tarrant remember that sometimes we barely even won a game. This year they went right to the final, and they lost right at the final game. But otherwise, they had a really phenomenal year of bonding. And even the community of Allen, I never mentioned this to the guys, but I got a phone call from David Kelso, who was another graduate who did the program with me and Ken. And he phoned me on Thursday, and he said, you know what, is there any chance that some of the Allen teams, they've had such an impact from the TC guys this year, that they wanted to bring their wives or girlfriends and, you know, some of them come and tour the center. So we're going to line it up for them to come in one of these afternoons around 4 o'clock and see you guys and just take them a tour of the center. Because they were so impressed with how these guys acted on the baseball diamond. They figured, wow, there must be something about you guys that's different than what we normally see in life. And that's the Jesus factor in their life that we see on a day-to-day basis. So the second guy that's going to come up and share his testimony is another one of those guys that desperately needed the program, and I'm not sure where he'd be today also if it wasn't for Teen Challenge coming into his life. So, Tim, would you come and share, please?
Hello. I tried redoing my testimony last night, and something with the computers stopped me. So I thought maybe perhaps there would be kids involved, and I wanted to change some things maybe. So bear with me if there's a stumbling spot. I'm just trying to wing it. Unlike Brandon, I'm bound to words. My name is Tim. I was born in 77, the year Elvis died, in Saskatoon, and I was raised in Dundurn. I'm currently separated and have two wonderful boys, Jesse and Jaden, 6, 8, and 6. I was raised as well in a good Christian home, and from what I recall, I do remember a lot of times getting it from my dad for what I thought was just nothing. I didn't have an extravagant upbringing by any stretch of the imagination. There was definitely an emotional disconnect between my dad and I, solely due to him being a shifter, working days, nights, all over the map. So when he was home, he was tired or busy, and when I was 11, I smoked my first cigarette, and it was not good at all. It was gross. At the age of 14, I had my first beer. It wasn't until I was 15 that I got drunk and stoned off pot for the first time, and that night would end up setting the course for numbing the pain for the next years of my life. From there, I started drinking more and smoking copious amounts of pot. And I was out of control, not listening to anyone, especially my parents. I was needing escape from this shame and guilt that was in me. At the age of 18, I got in a bad car accident just south of Saskatoon on a train bridge with a stolen car, which I stole from my parents. After flying off that bridge, and that was pretty much at the top, and surviving, it didn't dawn on me once that maybe, just maybe, God had his hand on my life. So I ended up in a court case over that accident and chose yet again to run from the law. Off to Vancouver I went, to the island, where I'd eventually try, I guess, hard drugs for the first time, and which was LSD and mushrooms. I would find myself messed out of my mind, hitchhiking from Vancouver to Kelowna to Nelson and just in a circle, and it really spoke of what was going on in my life. It was just nonstop, I guess, the cycle of addiction, as we all hear about. One of my trips back to Vancouver would lead me to the introduction of rock cocaine. And that addiction ended up stealing years and years from my life. Every time I would try to leave Vancouver to escape that addiction, I would come face to face with this lack of identity, this guy that I didn't know, and run back to the streets of Vancouver's east side. I would end up jumping from dive to dive, only staying long enough to collect my damage deposit if they would give it to me just to go score again. So I'd eventually meet some Christian people in Vancouver that would take me in and genuinely love and care for me. However, the cycle of relapse would carry on for some time before my friends heavily recommended a 12-month faith-based program in Aldergrove, BC, near there. And I would fail four times prior to completing that program. However, even after completing the 12 months, I committed to another 12 months, like a phase four at Teen Challenge, and I didn't finish that program. It was all about a girl. So, laugh out loud. So I was asked to leave that center and soon found my way back to Saskatchewan. I began looking for work, and in my searching was asked by a friend to help volunteer at a medical warehouse in Saskatoon. It was there I would meet my future wife, Jody. I just didn't know it yet. Sometime later, I would get invited to a Bible study by a friend of mine where I again would meet Jody. We hit it off and over the course of a year would get engaged. And I ended up marrying the love of my life on June 7th, 2008. Soon after the honeymoon phase, Jody would get her first taste of my addictive ways that she had heard about when she would find out I was using pornography uncontrollably. So off I went into treatment again, needing to deal with, at the time, an almost 15-year-old addiction. And for the record, I only lasted 6 out of those 12 months that time. When I was 32, I would land a job in the oil field service industry in northern Alberta. I truly believed that more money would fix most of our problems, as most of our problems seem to revolve around money. Again, laugh out loud. It was shortly after starting in the patch that we would have our first child. Oh boy. Not long after our first son was born, my wife would find out she had a tumor and large cyst on her cerebellum and would need surgery fast. I was a wreck during the entire time, and having Jody come home to only find all credit cards maxed out and bank accounts empty. She should have left. 1.5 years later, we would have our second son. I was really a wreck. Not able to communicate with my wife, let alone anyone, I was not able to share my hurts or how far I was slipping away from everything and everyone. By then, I was straight addicted to my painkillers, going through an eighth of an ounce of cocaine every hitch into camp and drinking every day on my week out. Okay, now I'm at 38. I completely wrote off the last 5 years, 5.5 years, with 4 relapses with rock cocaine, consistently abusing all medications, and had been given numerous ultimatums by my wife to stop, straighten out, or she would have to leave. April 13th, 2018, I would come home from yet another hard relapse, and my wife and kids were gone. This was the beginning of a hell that I'd never known. Over the next week, I would experience the most extreme emotional roller coaster ever. I would go from extreme rage to deep, deep, sorrowful pain that would bring me to vomit, vomiting. Like it was horrible. I soon began seeking out every single substance I had done, and through combining them, would hope to not wake up the next morning. Okay, June 7th, 2018 was here. What was supposed to be our 10th anniversary was on course to be a very scary walk with the enemy in my soul. It wasn't 2 weeks after the day of our anniversary that I would be out driving around drunk and end up on the wrong side of the divided highway and decide to stay and try to find a vehicle to hit, just in hopes of ending all this pain. I drove for miles before getting mad and turning around because there wasn't a single vehicle in sight. I actually saw a light, and I drove as fast as I could to it, and it was just an overhead light, just at an intersection, And was that God or not? Like, come on. 2 weeks after that, I would make my second attempt on my life, this time involving a firearm. I still didn't see God in this. I'm not going to get into the details. There's no way that it shouldn't have happened naturally. After that, it took months. It was months of self-destructing, and in this fight, before I guess I can say I kind of got it and came to a place of surrender where I actually made a phone call, talked to someone, said, hey, you know what? This is what's been going on. And that instance, that minute, that second of choosing to step into that light was the beginning of what I think is one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. And like Brandon said, it had nothing to do with the building, with the teen challenge, with the management, with Randy. Sorry, Randy. but the opportunity that I had to take some of what I knew, mostly just a whole new way of thinking, and apply it to my life and keep stepping into that light and bringing things up. Since coming to TC, some of the best things that have happened is, one, my relationship with God and the depth of that relationship. Two, my wife and I are on very good speaking terms. I get to see my boys, I guess, often, once a month, and passes. And I've had the opportunity to start applying God's word to my life, start working through shame issues, guilt issues, unforgiveness issues that are rooted so deeply in my childhood that I never even knew they existed. Thank you, Lord. I really want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. Actually, you know what? I have a verse that I want to share. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. It says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The word says that we demolish arguments and everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank the supporters and all who give to Teen Challenge. If it wasn't for you folks, we would not have this opportunity to step into this life-changing time in our lives. So thank you and God bless.
Thank you, Tim. Tim is also one of those guys that's available to be sponsored today. What Teen Challenge has been doing is we've been opening up women's centers across Canada, and we opened up a beautiful center in the Hague area in April. We're doing intake. There's, I think, 7 or 8 women are in the program, so that's a 26-bed facility in Hague, Saskatchewan. It's an awesome place for women in this province and in the prairies in general to get help as these men are getting help. One of the things I'd like to do now is just do what's called a kind of reality, as it's a different type of testimony. So I'd like to invite Julian and Andrew to come up here, please. And come on up, guys.
Reality. What is reality? Reality is marrying your high school sweetheart and raising 2 beautiful children, and 3 months after your 25th anniversary, your wife tells you she wants a divorce. Reality is you slip into a deep, dark depression over the next 4 years, seeking love in all the wrong places and going to the bars. Reality is one night after a bar scene, someone would introduce you to something at the end of a glass pipe. Reality is this drug would end up being crack cocaine, and it would destroy your life. The reality is, over the next 2 years, you would lose a career job of over 30 years. You'd lose your vehicles to drug dealers. You'd end up losing your children out of your life. Reality is, you'd lose your home and living on the streets, going to food bank and picking up butts off the street. Reality is you would hate your life so bad that you'd want to end it. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is you would be confrontational and start fights with absolutely anyone in an attempt to gain attention from a mother caught in her addictions. Reality is you would abandon any thought of God and start smoking marijuana, thinking it was the only joy you would ever experience. Reality is at age 16, you would kick in a door to find your mother dead and hanging from the ceiling and be the one to cut her down. Reality is you would cut everyone out of your life out of fear of having any connection and be devoid of all hope and wishing you were dead. How will I know that this is reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is being in and out of addiction of alcoholism since 2009 and having family worried each weekend where you are and what you were up to. Reality is draining a line of credit, maxing out a credit card in order to get wasted to escape from past hurts and pains. Reality is being suicidal after rough nights of drinking. How do I know that reality? Because that was me.
Even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. The truth is, I would come into Teen Challenge in January of 2007, and 10 days into program, I would give my life to Christ. The truth is, my two children would start to come and visit me on visit day at Teen Challenge while I was in the program. The truth is, I would go on to graduate Teen Challenge and go to Bible college at Horizon in town. The truth is, God is the God of restoration. The truth is, 4 years later, I would marry my wife that I met at a Teen Challenge graduation, and we got married right on the steps of Teen Challenge. The truth is, I've got my two children back in my life, a new wife, two stepchildren, and seven beautiful grandchildren in the last 5 years. The truth is, I am no longer a crackhead, but a child of God.
The truth is that my God is love and did not give me a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Truth is, since coming to Teen Challenge, I've had my relationships restored and have begun to love and to trust again. The truth is, I have hope in a future, and I am a new creation in Christ.
The truth is, Teen Challenge has helped me regain the most important relationship in the world, my relationship with God. Truth is, I have been set free from the grips of alcoholism and set free from depression and suicidal thoughts. The truth is, God has a purpose for me here on earth, a far greater and better purpose than I can ever imagine. And it's only by his outlandish love and grace that I stand here, a reborn child of God.
And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Thank you, gentlemen. So how can you help the Ministry of Teen Challenge? One of the greatest ways you can do that is through the sponsorship program. Teen Challenge has a $1.2 million budget to keep our men's center up and running every year. And over 60% of that funding comes directly through the sponsorship. So when you become a sponsor of a Teen Challenge student, you get a card like this, a picture on it, and it's part of their testimony. You get quarterly updates on how they're doing in the program, and you get a personal invitation to their graduation. But one of the greatest things you can do is pray for these guys. Pray for these guys because, you know, it's not called Teen Challenge. It's not Teen Easy. It's probably the most challenging year of their life. And there's times when they're really struggling to be in the program. And there's often times when guys are feeling like they can't do this anymore. They want to start to think about, you know, what's the future going to look like? And some guys sometimes leave premature. The guys that leave premature, the success has been really up and down in them. But the difference between the TC guys that graduate this program and, say, a secular program where the percentage of people that recover from secular short-term programs are about 5%. The guys that graduate this program, and the success was taken after 5 years of graduation, 70% and higher never return to their addictions. It's the Jesus factor. It's the only thing that works. It changes the heart, and it's a heart change that we need. So if God is putting in your heart today to become a sponsor, all seven of these guys that are here today are available to be sponsored. Please come to the back table
And we'd love to speak to you more about Teen Challenge. We're going to close with one song before I pass it on. So guys, you want to come back up here. We're going to close with a song called Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. There was a situation a few years back when I was doing the intake part. And I remember hearing the song, My Chains Are Gone, version of Amazing Grace. And I was going to the Saskatoon Corrections that afternoon. And it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and just as I was driving into the parking lot and about to enter the main door at the corrections, one of the guards there said, you're going to have to wait a while before you can come in because we have guys that are coming back from court. And all of a sudden, this 15-passenger white vehicle showed up and backed up to the doors. And I seen 12 guys got out of this vehicle, and they came out in 2x2s. They had chains on their wrists. They had shackles on their ankles, and they had shackles between each other. And I just watched as they walked into the Saskatoon Corrections. Physically, yes, they were in shackles. But what I seen in their eyes, they were in bondage. They were in spiritual shackles. And this song sings about having those chains removed. So this is a song that really, really resonates in our hearts about finding that freedom from the bondage of addictions. Right?